Thank you. Well, after that dramatic drama, my God, what a battle that was. I thought it was the Third World War. So anyway, after His Holiness Ram Govinda Maharaj's class, which was so authentic and such a depth of integrity, it was amazing. It was really wonderful. After His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj, who, you know, I think that was just about the most animated class I've observed in I don't know how long, maybe forever. Oh yeah. And so many anecdotes and leelas and pastimes and emotions, and I can't do it like that. So, we'll try and do something, I guess. Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki. Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki. Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki. Shri Ram Navami Mahotsava Ki. Hare Krishna. So actually, I'm going to read a couple of few verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. So perhaps you can just repeat after me to get us off to an auspicious start at least. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So let us read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, The Pastimes of the Supreme Lord Ramachandra. And we'll read three verses, beginning with verse 51. Tretayam Vartamanayam Kalakrita Samobhavat Rame Rajani Dharmagye Sarva Bhuta Sukha Vahe. Translation: Lord Ramachandra became king during Treta Yuga, but because of his good government, the age was like Satya Yuga. Everyone was religious and completely happy. Vanani Najo Girayo Varshani Dwipa Sindhava Sarvakama Duga Asan Prajanam Bharatarshaba. O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Bharat dynasty, during the reign of Lord Ramachandra, the forests, the rivers, the hills and mountains, the states, the seven islands, and the seven seas were all favorable in supplying the necessities of life for all living beings. And verse 53, which is really quite an amazing verse. I would advise you to fasten your seatbelts, because this is just going on to another level, into another dimension of transcendence. Nadi Vyadi Jarat Galani Dukha Shoka Bayaklama Mrityus Chani Chatam Nasid Rame Rajan Yadhokshaje. When Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was the king of this world, all bodily and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear, and fatigue were completely absent. There was even no death for those who did not want it. Let's read Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse. It's just a short purport. All these facilities existed because of Lord Ramachandra's presence as the king of the entire world. I hope you've still got your seatbelts fastened, because seriously, yeah, this is continuing the same extremely transcendental mood. So, okay. All these facilities existed because of Lord Ramachandra's presence as the king of the entire world. A similar situation could be introduced immediately, even in this age called Kali, the worst of all ages, even in Lemasia. Wait a minute. No. But actually, it's true. It is said, Kali Kale, Nama Rupe, Krishna Avatar. Krishna descends in this Kali Yuga in the form of his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You know, I'm just considering the way you were chanting just right now. I detected, I think, that you may be tired. Am I right? I know you wouldn't admit it, but that's, you know, bit of transcendental detective work. So, devotees and friends, just to get us, to wake us up a bit, to make sure we are still alive, or at least awake, please everyone put your hands in the air. Everyone take a deep breath. And everyone say after me very loud, Hare Krishna! Listen, listen, will you? I said loud. Okay, next time, hands back in the air. All your hands, if you've got more than two, put them up also. And after me, and listen to this. Hare Rama! Not too bad. Thank you. Alright, anyway, you heard those three verses. You heard Srila Prabhupada's purport. And particularly the very last verse and the purport which we read, short purport, to the material mind, it sounds a bit too fantastic. It's one thing being enthusiastic and inspired to spread Krishna consciousness and help people become Krishna conscious, but this may sound a little bit too much. Anyway, devotees and friends, the good news is it is not too much. The good news is it is actually like that. It is exactly like that. is just waiting for us, that's all. You know, one time Srila Prabhupada told a group of his GBC members, means basically his most senior disciples, he said, I have a plan. We could take over the world in 18 days. Did you catch that? But you are not ready. So the problem is us. Yeah. In different ways. Anyway. Today is Sri Ram Navami. What a wonderful, auspicious day. Tomorrow is the main day for celebrating the 40th anniversary of Shishinatai Gaurahari, and today is also part of that. So it's really wonderful. And couple of little points, technical points, which are interesting and of some value, is you may have noticed that our Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, even though we've published the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Brihat Bhagavatamrita, etc., etc., and many of these extremely most important literatures, you may have noticed we have not published the Ramayana. Did you notice that? I mean, there's a few devotees, Krishna Dharma Prabhu is one, and I think there's one or maybe, I don't know how many others, but there are sort of, what would you call them, abridged versions floating around here and there, available. And actually our devotees, our BBT devotees many years ago, means 20 years ago, something like that, they made a project, let us translate and do commentaries, verse by verse, for Ramayana. But they encountered a problem. Of course, when we say Ramayana, we mean Valmiki Ramayana, Ramcharitamanas, Tulsidas. Of course, a lot of it is taken from Valmiki Ramayana, but there are some other things also which are not in Valmiki Ramayana. So we don't really count that. We only really count Valmiki Ramayana. But unfortunately, there's a problem there with Valmiki Ramayana, is that there are many versions. There are many versions in the world of Hinduism. You know, you've got the Gita Press version and various other versions. But there are variations between them. One classic variation is that some versions have the pastime of Lord Ram just immediately prior to going to Lanka. He worshipped Lord Shiva. Some don't have that. They don't mention it. So it's just one example. It's just one example. But the point is, how will we figure out which is the really authentic version, you know, from beginning to end? When it comes to Mahabharata, there's the commentary of Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya, and therefore it's accepted there's an authentic version of Mahabharata which is existing. Ramayana is not clear enough, so that project, they started the project, someone started translating, etc., but they stopped. But, devotees and friends, that was the bad news. The good news is, Srimad Bhagavatam is completely authentic. Therefore, the description which is in Srimad Bhagavatam of everything, including Lord Ram, is authentic. So, you know, when things really get down to it and you've got to be really sure, then for the story of Lord Ram, we basically just refer to the Srimad Bhagavatam, these two chapters here. It's only two chapters, but it's very beautiful, very amazing, with very wonderful brief descriptions of the main pastimes. Yes. One pastime. I want to tell you one pastime which, as I understand, features in all the different versions of Ramayana. Here's a pastime. Now, I cannot do it in as animated a way as Kadamakanana Maharaj. Maybe I should ask him to come and just do the animations. I don't know. But it's quite a story. Listen to this. Sit down. Relax. Don't relax too much. We don't want you to fall asleep. But listen to this. It's a very nice story, and it's also relevant because it involves, right in the central position, the practice of chanting the holy names of the Lord. That is the Yuga Dharma for this age. And actually the fact is, and if you study the Bhagavatam, you'll see how directly or indirectly the point sort of comes out, or it just manifests. You have to have your eyes open. Is that there are so many pastimes in Srimad Bhagavatam, from this yuga, that yuga, and all the yugas. And in numerous of those pastimes, some great personality is saved or is very special because of the chanting. Yeah. There's a lot of chanting of the holy names, or just Krishna Katha, which is, you know, the same thing, as we say sometimes, the same difference. Yeah. So actually, and at that time, Treta Yuga, there's this pastime which focuses on the chanting, and it's Treta Yuga. Oh, look at this. Oh, okay. Well, we're having a party. Prabhu Sarathi Maharaj is coming. I hope his seat is higher than mine. Is there another cushion? There's another cushion. Put the cushion there before he sees it. Yeah, okay. All right, so here we go. Here we go, listen to this. His Holiness Kadambakanana Maharaj, I can see him out there, he mentioned Guha. Do you remember? Anyway, he did. He mentioned Guha, who was the king of the, was he the king of the hunters? The Nishada, the Nishada Raj. Guha is Nishadaraj. Nishadaraj. Okay, we'll just call him Nishadaraj. His Holiness Papasarati Das Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Ki Jai. Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman's devotee Papasarati Maharaj. Just come and sit down. Stop it. There you go. It's a great place. Sahasra Koti Dandavat Pranams. That's it. He's very sharp. And he's still a bit higher than me. So. And that's all right. These things just happen by the arrangement of God. So there we were with the Nishida Raj. And just when Lord Ram had gone into exile, just shortly afterwards, he met that king of the hunters, Nishida Raj, and spent a little time with him. And even though a hunter is not a very high position, particularly we know that Lord Ram, we heard Ram Govinda Maharaj talking about, oh no, it was actually, sorry, it was Kadavar Kandana Maharaj, doing things right, doing things according to the standards, like in a very formal sense. And for a high level Kshatriya to associate closely with a hunter, hunters were sort of, they were really not taken very seriously. But somehow the real bond developed between them. And that was early in the pastime, or the exile. So then Lord Ram, Lakshman, Sita carried on. One thing that wasn't mentioned was that Lakshman, not only was he standing guard, he took a vow he wouldn't sleep, and he didn't sleep for all the 14 years was it, however many years it was, so many years. And of course we note his wife Urmila did not come. Sita came, Urmila didn't come. Anyway, but the thing is, Urmila took a vow to serve my husband, to support my husband in his service to Ram, of guarding and not sleeping for 14 years. I will sleep for my husband. That's what I heard. And she slept for 14 years. And he was able. Lakshman was strong. And he never dozed off in Srimad Bhagavatam class. Yeah. All while chanting his rounds. So anyway, so everything went on. Everything went on. And finally Lord Ram returned, everyone returned to Ayodhya. And of course, you know, everyone was so happy. And they all lived happily ever after, except Ram banished Sita. But anyway, what can you do? The Chaitanya Charitamrita says, the pastimes of Lord Ram are full of tragedy. Full of tragedy. Yes. All right. So, but now back to the Nishida Raj. So Lord Ram returned. Now he's going to be installed officially as the king after everything. And the Nishida Raj heard of this. And he became inspired. My old friend Ram is going to be crowned the king. What an event. I must be there. He jumped on his chariot or some sort of vehicle he had, horse-drawn, and went flying from his place to Ayodhya. Some of the tragedy. Anyway, he just flew to Ayodhya And he flew into Ayodhya, and people were diving out of the way. It was like, you know, totally fanatical. And as he was flying through the streets, he came to the square where the Vishvamitra, a very sensitive Brahmin, very touchy sort of Brahmin, was setting up the arena for the yajna or the yajnas and all the various religious ceremonies, etc., that were going to happen in the course of the coronation. But the Nishadha Raj came flying through, and one wheel of his vehicle crossed the corner of the yajna arena. And Vishvamitra saw that. And like we said, he's touchy. He's hypersensitive, a very sensitive person. He has a sort of Kshatriya background. They tend to be sensitive to how they're treated. He became irate. He became irate. He just lost it pretty much completely and went to Lord Ram and said, "Look at this. Look at this apara, maha, mega apara. It's just too much. It's just too much. I cannot take it. You must find the person and kill them." And Lord Ram, you know, when he's ordered by a superior, that's it. End of story. There's no hang on a sec, let me think about it, anything like that. That is just it. So he dressed himself in battle gear with his bow and his quiver, full of arrows, but they weren't just arrows, they were astras, including the Brahmastra, which he used to kill Ravana with. And Vishvamitra was with him, and let's go, let's find this person and just destroy him. Nishadha Raj heard of this, and of course he was devastated. "My dear friend Ram is going to kill me at this time, at any time, but at this time he's going to kill me. Oh no, what should I do?" He was asking people what to do. Someone told him, "Go see Hanuman. You know, he's astute. He may know how to deal with it." So he went to Hanuman and asked Hanuman, "What should I do?" And Hanuman said, "I don't know. I don't know what to do. I just don't know." And Hanuman told him, "Just sit down with me." And Hanuman started chanting, "Ram, Ram, 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 Ram." And the Nishadha Raj was crying, "My dear, dear Lord, Ram is going to kill me. What total disaster." And then who arrived on the scene but Lord Ram on his chariot in battle dress, bow and astras, and Vishvamitra with him. And Vishvamitra pointed to the Nishadha Raj and said, "There he is. There. Well, there. There he is. Kill him." And Lord Ram, because, well, he's known actually as Maryada Purushottama. This term is sometimes used, at least amongst the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Lord Krishna's Leela Purushottama, the Supreme Person who performs amazing pastimes. Lord Chaitanya's Prema Purushottama, the Supreme Lord, who's just in total prema. And Lord Ram is Maryada Purushottama, the Supreme Lord, who follows the rules and regulations. So Lord Ram took an arrow, an astra, and aimed it at the Nishadaraj. And Hanuman, seeing this, Hanuman was just so emotional and just chanting, Ram, Ram, Ram. And he didn't want to say anything because he's the servant and servants don't talk back. He just chanted and within his heart he was thinking, Ram, please, no. Don't do this. And the Nishadaraj was just crying. And Lord Ram released that astra. The astra was flying. Hanuman was chanting. Nishadaraj was crying. And the arrow, the astra, vanished. Suddenly it wasn't there. And Vishwamitra saw that, but not one to be easily sort of, you know, defeated. He said, take another arrow. All right. Lord Ram released another astra. And Hanuman was chanting, Ram, 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 and just praying in his heart. And the Nishadaraj was crying and crying, and the arrow was flying and flying, and it disappeared. The second one. And Vishwamitra, not easily put off, he said, all right, take another one. And, well, you know the story by now. The arrow was flying. Hanuman was chanting, Ram, Ram, Ram. Vishnaraj was crying, and the arrow, the astra, vanished. Vishwamitra kept going, all right, another one, next one, until there was only one left, the Brahmastra, which killed Ravana. And Lord Ram released the Brahmastra. And Hanuman, what was he doing? He was chanting, Ram, Ram, Ram. How was he chanting? Ram, Ram, Ram. And just praying in his heart. And the Nishadaraj was crying. The Brahmastra was flying. And it disappeared also. And Vishwamitra, when that happened, he accepted, all right, there's some higher principle at work here. So Ram departed, and Nishadaraj survived. He wasn't killed. And he attended all the programs. So we just mentioned that because it's connected. Shishi Nitai Gaura Hari, they're the lords of the Sankirtan Yajna. And it's just, that's their everything. The spreading of the chanting of the holy names. And what did we read? Do you remember? Srila Prabhupada said that after the verse describes how wonderful life was, unimaginably wonderful by our standards, when Lord Ram was king, Prabhupada said very clearly that if we spread the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The same conditions can manifest, Prabhupada said, immediately. Not even tomorrow or in a few years or, you know, when the DA gets in. No, I didn't say that. I tell you, honestly, I couldn't care less. I really, I've never voted in my life. And I sincerely have no intention of it. But people think like that. People think like that. Yes. When, you know, the political situation changes. Oh, then. Like, you know, when Srila Prabhupada first met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was preaching to him, we need Krishna consciousness now. And Prabhupada said, and Prabhupada told his disciples quite openly, that I replied, but India is a captive nation. We must become free from captivity. Then, all right, then we'll do all these things. So Prabhupada says, immediately, if we introduce this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and if we spread it and spread it and spread it all over, then the same amazing conditions can manifest even immediately. Certainly they can manifest in our personal lives, at least, immediately. And if we keep trying, well, our goal is to change the world, actually. So Lord Ram, very, very special transcendental personality. You know, actually, I mean, we're focusing here on Lord Ram. That's fine and that's right. Lord Krishna is actually the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's a fact. And his position is higher. Actually, they're the same person, but when he is Deris Lord Ram, he doesn't manifest himself as much. Yeah, he reserves, keeps some of his characteristics and qualities out of sight. Srila Rupa Goswami gives really nice description. It's really amazing. How Lord Nrisingadev, Lord Ramachandra and Lord Krishna, they are complete manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Krishna is the most complete, but still all three are presented as being complete. Lord Nrisingadev, because he's so powerful, so powerful. Lord Ram, because he's so beautiful and captivating. But ultimately Lord Krishna, because he's so everything even more. Yeah. We have complete, more complete, most complete, even more than most complete, mostest complete, and even more than mostest. Yeah. So Krishna's in that position. I read a very nice thing. It's really, I think it's very nice. That when Lord Ram left on going into exile, everyone cried uncontrollably, just totally lost control, absolutely. The people, the animals, the trees, the flowers, the grass, every living entity, the insects, They just cried and cried. Srila Rupa Goswami, just to give us in principle the idea, we'll make a little clear how Krishna's on a higher level. He says that, he mentions this fact, but then he says that with Krishna, whenever he would go out to herd the cows, every day, everyone would cry uncontrollably. Total devastation, including the animals and the birds and the trees and you name it, every living entity, every day. And not only that, when he returned every evening, they cried. All of them cried. Just making a little parallel between the two. But certainly we appreciate Lord Ram. We appreciate Lord Ram so much as such an amazing transcendental personality. There's certain qualities he displays which he displays in very vivid ways. Krishna has so many qualities, sometimes it's possible to get a little lost. But Lord Ram, in some cases, he displays some qualities so vividly, it makes such an impression on people's minds. And one of them, I'll close just in a minute by mentioning, but one of them is his dedication to Mother Sita, who is his topmost devotee. Devotee, not just dear wife, but devotee, loving devotee. That when she was apparently kidnapped by Ravan, then Lord Ram, of course it's a long story, but he mounted the great military campaign to have her rescued, and he had her rescued. But it was a big job. It was just no small thing. And millions died. It was just such a dramatic situation. But only to rescue Sita. That Lord Ram was so faithful, so dedicated, and so affectionate, loving of Mother Sita, that as far as he was concerned, no price was too great. No price. Anything. Doesn't matter. We must get Sita. We must rescue Sita. And of course, you know, like we said, it was a great battle. And so many died. And, well, actually it was Kadambakanana Maharaj mentioned that the Lord, he manifests the universe just by blinking his eye, or just by thinking about it even, and he destroys it just by thinking about it. What is the thing here that there has to be a big battle and millions die? Is it the only way to rescue Sita? If they didn't do that, they wouldn't be able to rescue Sita, and Lord Ram would just be in, you know, ongoing distress. Or was it the best way, the quickest, most efficient, easiest way? Srila Prabhupada makes the point in this specific regard, actually, that Lord Krishna, of course, as he says in Bhagavad Gita, is in the heart of everyone. But Krishna Ram, they're the same. So that means Lord Ram is in the heart. And in the heart, devotees and friends, in the heart or by the heart, something like that, there is an on-off switch. Currently, in our cases, it is in the on position for the time being. So Prabhupada makes the point that all Lord Rama had to do, because he's right there, he just had to lean over, switch off the switch, and good night, Ravana. Simple job. You know, stick. He is everywhere. He just can stick his hand out, pick Sita up out of her captivity, and she's rescued. It's so simple. We're talking about a second's work. But no, what he did, and what a struggle. And Lakshman almost, apparently, of course it's transcendental, but almost died, and all these things. Why do it like that? Why do it like that? Because Lord Ram is showing what he'll do for his devotee, what his devotee means to him. No price is too high. Let nothing stand in the way for his pure devotee, like Mother Sita. So therefore, you know, because of certain of these qualities which he displays in very even dramatic ways, Lord Ram tends to make impressions in people's hearts and minds, the things they can relate to. Whereas Krishna, you know, Krishna's higher level, Krishna's a lot more sophisticated, and, you know, there's a lot more going on. There's a lot more depth, even, you could say. But still, Lord Rama's very wonderful. Therefore, we worship him, we worship this day, we chant his name in the Maha Mantra. So, yes. There we are. Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ke. Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ke. Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ke. Go Premanande. More Premanande. Hare Krishna. I think you should talk more about whatever you'd like to talk about. No? No, not me. Okay.
Very nice to be here with all of you. Previously, just some few days ago, I was in Vrindavan, living at Belvedere Hill, where I've been for 5 months. But I was eagerly looking forward to coming to this festival to commemorate the 40th anniversary of installation of Sri Srinathai Gaurahari, and to hear something from my senior godbrother, Siksha Guru, His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, His Holiness Ram Govinda Maharaj, superior to me, Siksha Gurus, Kadamba Khan Maharaj.
We may interject at some point and say more like that.
So we'll talk a little bit about Nitai Gaurahari. Since I was actually here in 1979, so first a few prayers to our acharyas. It's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahat Kripa Vina. Without the Kripa means without the mercy of the Mahatma. And Srila Prabhupada his disciples, we cannot go forward in bhakti. One has to have this kripa, this mercy. From Ramchandra, Ramchandra gives power of attorney to personalities like Prabhupada and Prabhupada's sincere disciples and grand disciples also. So we pray first. Om Aginata Marandasya Gananjana Sadakaya Chakshmatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavishtam Stapatam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yathapata Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Rakunatam Vitam Tam Shri Jeevam Sadvaitam Sadvutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Param Sagana Lalita Shri Vishavitam Sa Namo Vishnuvadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Sanyavari Praskachadi Satarine He
Krishna Karma Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vishwanatha Sukadevi Ramani Hari Priya
Everyone, Vancha Kalpa Tirupesha
Kripa Sindhu Devasha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo
Shri Krishna Chaitanya
Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta
Everyone,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare
Krishna,
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Again, Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I wanted to give just a little bit of a chronological perspective on Krishna consciousness in South Africa from its inception, since I also was blessed and was there at that particular time. So we first hear about Krishna from Vaishnavas. If you can imagine, previously you were invited perhaps to a festival, invited to the Lanesia temple, invited to Rath Yatra, or you got a book. So it was a devotee that knocked on the door. Am I correct? It was a devotee that said, come along to the Rath Yatra, or to the campaign, or to hear Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj. It was a devotee. So first is the devotee. Then through the association of the devotee, Sadhu Sangha, we learn about Srila Prabhupada and we learn about Bhagavad Gita. So first the devotee. So in 1972, in September, two devotees came to South Africa, Shruti Prabhu and Rishi Kumar Swami. Prabhupada at that time was giving a famous series of lectures in Vrindavan. And although we stress the month of Kartik, and the month of Kartik is very special. Prabhupada actually only observed Kartik in Vrindavan as the Acharya of ISKCON once. Prior, of course, he was living in Vrindavan. But in 1972, he spent that period in Vrindavan and recorded a series of tapes called Nectar of Devotion Series. Very famous, very nice. I advise you to play it. So, on one of the talks, Prabhupada finished, and then he had a letter, and he referred to this letter. And this letter was from, it included a newspaper cutting, and a letter from Shruti Prabhu and Rishi Kumar Swami, who had just arrived in South Africa, September 1972. And Prabhupada mentions this. Actually, in that talk, Prabhupada says, "And this Rishi Kumar Swami, how old is he?" And someone said, 19. 19. Foreign country. You know South Africa in those days. Of course, many of you weren't born at that time. Some of you are in the senior citizen group, like myself and Maharaj. 1972, apartheid. So these two devotees came, Shruti Prabhu, who even comes now and has been visiting Johannesburg, a very wonderful Vaishnava, and Rishi Kumar Swami. So he stayed for some 6 or 9 months. And he tried to preach, but he was hounded by the police. They couldn't figure out, what is this? Shaved head, wearing bed sheets. Couldn't figure it out at all. So eventually he had to leave. And when Prabhupada heard about that, Prabhupada sent one of his senior sannyasi disciples, Pushta Krishna Swami. So Pushta Krishna Swami was also young. He took sannyas when he was about 21, 22. From the time he got initiated to the time he took sannyas was 14 months. And he was about 22 years old. And he came. Prabhupada said, "You go to South Africa." So now the next devotee comes, Pushta Krishna Swami. He's still practicing in the West Coast. He's actually a professional surgeon. He's recently retired and very favorable and has Krishna conscious activities and family and everything. So he brought with him deities. And the deities were Gaur Nitai. So now we have Gaur Nitai. They've come to South Africa. The Gaur Nitai on the altar in Lanesha in the temple, the middle-sized deities. Of course, it's a bit of a story because previously it was one hand up, one hand down, and some of them they changed to two hands up. But that's a whole other story. So how I know this is when these deities came in 1974. So 1972, the devotees. 1974, Gaur Nitai come. They traveled to South India. They traveled to West India. Now they traveled to South Africa. Here they are. Gaur Nitai, brass deities. So I was the pujari. I was made the pujari. Actually, practically from the day I joined, I was always made the pujari. So there I am, pujari. I remember someone, the temple president said, "Dr. Rob, you are now a pujari." And I said, "Great, oh wonderful, wow, what is it? What does that mean? I can't even say it, pujari." One who looks after the deity. So point is I'm making, Gaur Nitai came. So we are assisting Lord Chaitanya. We are assisting Lord Nityananda and their associates, Bhaktivinoda, Bhaktisiddhanta, and in particular Srila Prabhupada. We are assisting them in preaching in South Africa, in Durban, in Johannesburg, Cape Town, Port Elizabeth, We are the assistants. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta has said that the Majjhima middle-class devotee should see themselves as the right hand of the Uttama. So Uttama means very high-class bhakta, and that's Prabhupada's category, Bhaktisiddhanta. So we, if we're fortunate to come to the Majjhima level, we should see ourselves as the assistants or the right hand. So first the Vaishnavas came, then Gaur Nitai came, 1974. Then Prabhupada himself came, 1975. Prabhupada came for some 19 days. As far as I know, he didn't come to Lanesia. At that time, we had a rented house in Yeovil, which is near Hillbrow. At that time, it was like a sort of middle-class Jewish area. I would chant my rounds in the morning, and up the road there was a church. Across the road there was a church. There was like three or four synagogues everywhere. So Prabhupada came. So the pure devotee came for some 19 days. And we did seven whole programs. So the Vaishnavas came, Gaur Nitai came, the pure devotee came, Srila Prabhupada. Then the next significant thing to happen, in 1976, Jagannath came. Jagannath, Subhadra, and Balaram. The same Jagannath we have in the Phoenix Temple. They came. One devotee wrote to Prabhupada, Rida Prabhu, and said, "Can we have Rath Yatra in South Africa?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes, by all means, but you have it in the winter." He's talking about the Northern Hemisphere. So Prabhupada was saying, "Let's have it in December sometime, like in Melbourne in Australia." So based on that encouragement, one devotee, Duranga Prabhu, went actually and brought Jagannath, Subhadra, and Balaram. So that's like the next important step in the development of ISKCON, 1976. Then we started preaching very effectively in the Durban areas. We did these Pandel programs, campaign programs, and we started exposing many people to Krishna consciousness, and many people joined. Suddenly the temple was overflowing with young boys and young girls. I mean, literally hundreds started coming. So then in 1979, we installed Nitai Gaura Hari. So this, of course, is the 40th year celebration of installing Nitai, the big marble deity, Nitai Gaura Hari, in South Africa. So at that time, I was there at Cato Ridge. Cato Ridge was the first property that we owned. Prior to that, we just rented. That's all. Rented. But now we owned this farm, 120 acres. Subsequently, His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj was the temple president there. He was actually the temple president in Cato Ridge for a number of years. V for victory, 3 for 3 years. 3 years, victory. I remember his office well. And your desk. So we installed the deities, 1979. Eventually, at that farm, there was a tractor shed. You'd expect a tractor shed at a farm. So the temple president, prior to Maharaj, and prior to him, and prior to him, was Tulsi Prabhu, a very wonderful Vaishnava living in New Brindavan in America, really helped South African Yatra, probably more than anyone else. So he turned the tractor shed into, he laid marble and put pillars, and it became a temple. Perhaps one third the size, I would say one third the size, more or less, of this marquee. Or maybe a quarter the size of this marquee. Yeah, We could get like 200, 250 people. So this is where Nittai Gaurahari resided, 1979. Then, of course, I think the next really significant thing was Shishi Radha Raghunath were installed, and that was in 1985. So I'm just talking about the previous, the earlier times. So 1979, we were preaching very enthusiastically, and many people were coming and surrendering, young boys, young girls. And the deity worship was very nicely done. Nittai Gaurahari. So we see ourselves as assisting Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. We shouldn't be thinking, I am doing this by my prowess, by my strength. I am doing this food for life. I am doing this management. I am doing these books. No, as Lord Chaitanya traveled to South India, so we extend that, and he's traveling to South Africa. It sounds the same, South India, South Africa. It's both south. And we're assisting. We identify ourselves as servants of the Lord. This is very important. So Lord Chaitanya's mission is every town and village. And gradually, it is going to every town and village. We have over 800 temples, restaurants, schools, farms throughout the world. Over 550 million books and magazines have been printed in 87 languages. So Krishna consciousness is gradually spreading, as predicted by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And with or without us, it will continue to spread. Just like Krishna told Arjuna, the battle, it's already been decided that you can be an instrument if you want, because we're independent. We can decide what we want. Of our own choice, we have come here Saturday afternoon. It's our choice. We're independent. The jiva, the living entity, is eternally independent. So you have chosen to use your independence to increase your Krishna consciousness by coming here, listening to Maharajas, by taking prasad, by taking darshan, by in celebrating, commemorating Ram Navami, etc. So we are independent. But those that use their independence to practice Krishna consciousness, this is the ultimate goal of life, and they will become perfect. There is the word sadhya and the word sadhana. Sadhya is the goal. Sadhana is the process to attain it. Giving a material example, you're living in your house in Midrand or Randburg or somewhere. So sadhya, Saturday afternoon, the goal is to come to Lanesia Temple. That's the goal. Sadhana is the process. You get in a car. It's licensed. It actually has petrol or diesel, and you drive. It's the process. Or you come by helicopter, or whatever the case may be. So sadhya is the ultimate goal. Sadhana is the process to attain it. Krita sadhyatsadhya bhava. Nitya siddhasya bhavasya. Sadhya, the goal. And the goal is love of Krishna. Prema pamato mahan. The goal for us is not to get mystic powers. Mystic powers could be useful. We could control people. You know, there are mystics who can control people. Can you imagine controlling your mother-in-law? It could come in handy. I can control the bank manager. I've thought about it, you know. Get him to write a check for TOVP. I can control, what's his name, Jeff, the richest man in the world, Bezos, yes. It's only worth $130 billion. If I could just control him and get him to write a check in Iskon Lanesia, Iskon Santon, you know, this would be so nice. So mystic powers becoming very light, becoming very heavy, entering people's minds, transporting yourself. That was a favorite one of mine, because I would like to transport myself every day to Govardhan Hill, to Radha Kund, to Shiva Sangha, to Prabhupada Samadhi in Vrindavan. I would like the ability to sort of transfer myself. These are mystic powers. But this is not the goal of spiritual life. The goal is simply love of Krishna. Some people may have as a goal upward material mobility. What does that mean? Material mobility. Money, money, money. Paisa debt, tamasa debt. Money, 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 money. I want the money. I want material opportunity. I want to send my children private school. I want the fancy car, color TV, house by the sea. Jaya Jagadisha Hari, etc., etc. I want good health. So I want to be voted. Even in Bengal, which is officially, previously was communist in Bengal, the leaders would all go to the temple before voting to pray to God to get votes. So some of our political leaders will be doing that, no doubt, praying to God for votes. So there are many aspirations we may have. These are called material desires. But the ultimate thing we should want is simply pure, unadulterated, ananya, kevala, pure love for Krishna. And taking it to a higher stage, it can be pure, unadulterated love for Nrisimhadeva, as is the case of Prahlad Maharaj. It can be pure, unadulterated love for Ramchandra, as is the case of who? Hanuman. There's a story. Hanuman is somewhere, not sure where. Narada Muni comes and asks him, oh, that's right. Narada Muni goes to Dwarka and is asking about different types of love. Your Ishtadev, your worshipful Lord. So Lord Dwarkadish, Vasudeva Krishna in Dwarka, he tells Narada Muni, you go to see Hanuman and you tell him that I want to speak to him and I'm in Dwarka. So Narada Muni, he goes all the way and he says to Hanuman, Dwarkadish, Vasudeva Krishna, four-handed Krishna, he wants to speak to you. And Hanuman says, yeah, I'm getting old. Lumbago, I'll be there shortly. I'll be there in a minute. And he doesn't actually go. So then Narada Muni went back and gave that response to Lord Narayan or Krishna, with Vasudeva Krishna and Dwarka. And then Vasudeva Krishna said, now you change. And instead, you tell him that Lord Ram wants to see him. Lord Ram wants to talk to him in Dwarka. So Narada Muni went and he told Hanuman, Lord Ram wants to speak with you, and he's in Dwarka. And then Hanuman immediately vanished. And Narada Muni is looking around to the left, looking, where's Hanuman gone? I guess I can't understand. So he waits a while and can't find Hanuman. And then he proceeds, Narada Muni proceeds back to Dwarka. And then he sees Hanuman on his way back from Dwarka. He's already been to Dwarka and spoken to Ramchandra. So one's istadev is one's worship of Lord. So it's very clear Hanuman's istadev. His ultimate goal is Hanuman, is Ramchandra. So in a general way, prema pamata mahan, love of Krishna, can mean love of Vishnu, love of Narayan, love of Nrisimhadev. But there are differences, and Maharaj is making that difference. Mayada Purushottama, it's Maduya Purushottama, Alduya Purushottama. Alduya Purushottama, Lord Chaitanya full of mercy. Maduya Purushottama, Lord Krishna full of sweetness. And Ramchandra, Mayada Purushottama, Ramchandra. Mayada means etiquette, rules and regulations. So different aspects of Krishna, Ramchandra, etc., may excite you, may interest you. And that's all right. So prema pamata mahan on a higher stage means actually developing specific attraction for a specific form of the Lord. Anyhow, we're all on a somewhat lower stage, and we should see ourselves as servants of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. But even to say I'm the servant of Lord Chaitanya or Nityananda could be a little presumptuous. No, I am the servant of their servant of their servant. Would you agree? The six Goswamis are the direct servants. Then came Shyamananda, Srivas, Srinivas Thakur, Narottama Das Thakur, and then we come into Bhaktivinoda, the pioneer of Krishna consciousness in this 1900s. And then we're coming to Bhaktisiddhanta, and then his most empowered disciple, Srila Prabhupada. And then Srila Prabhupada's sincere followers who are helping us in our relationship with Prabhupada. So we see ourselves as their servants. Always this idea of being the servant. Huh? Always. Seva vritti, the mood of being the servant. So it's very wonderful that you've all come on this occasion, and we can pray to Nitai Gaura Hari and try to think how that was in 1979, Cato Ridge, the installation. Nandakumar Prabhu was present. I was very fortunate to be there. I think Savakanti Prabhu was there. But Srila Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj came a few months later. So did Madhavi Prabhu. But then, of course, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj caught up by being the temple president and having that on his shoulders. Still recovering. So it's very nice to serve Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda in the association of Vaishnavas like this. And now we're getting older, as you can see, the wrinkles. You can see gravity is making things go down. Eyebrows are drooping and the teeth are all falling out. I'm recently getting buzzing in my ears. And walking stick, I have a collection of walking sticks. So now we're handing this over to the younger generation. And that's mostly you. Not all of you, but mostly you. Because some of you are also in our category. And we hope that Krishna consciousness will continue. It will. It's the desire of Lord Chaitanya. It's the desire of Prabhupada. Prabhupada had that desire. He wanted. So we serve that desire. Our life is based on that desire. So thank you very much for sacrificing your time, and especially on this Ram Navami occasion, where we pray to Krishna's future as Ramchandra, Purushottama, Mayada. And tomorrow also we'll have a festival. So thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Shri Nitai Gaura Hari ki jai, Gaura Premanandi. Hey, hey.